the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Just need to check something on the internet. Hang on a second. Let me just go online. Hang on. Hang on a second. Just bear with me. Just bear with me. Just checking something on Google. Yeah, I am happy with that. Let's go to James. Good evening, James.
Hey, how are you, Ian?
I'm very, very well, James, although I'm terrified I've lost my passport.
That's what I was calling about.
Oh, have you got it?
Well, I've not got your passport, but...
Are you on speakerphone, young gentleman?
Yeah.
Why?
Because suddenly I can hear you.
What do you mean it's the only... What do you mean it's the only way you can hear us?
Well, it's only way I can hear you and the beautiful Kathleen.
Kathleen? Well, why have you got to be on speakerphone? Why don't you take it off?
Hang on. I'm not on speakerphone anymore.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay, and can you hear us?
Yep.
So your speakerphone comment about me and the beautiful Kathleen was a lie?
Well, I was on speakerphone when I was talking to you.
You know what?
It doesn't matter.
Carry on. What have you got for us?
A couple of points, Ian. But when you lost your passport.
Yes.
Or when you went to the post office and the woman at the post office lost her passport.
Yep. Stole it.
Was it a subliminal message that you were embarrassed by Boris running the country?
Was it a subliminal message that I was embarrassed by Boris running the country? It could be. It could be completely subconscious on my part. It could be that, James. We just don't know. Hang on a minute. Let me meditate and just think. Hang on. Spirit, did I lose my passport because I was embarrassed at Boris running the country? Answer me now, O wise Lord of love and eternal wisdom. The program crashed. I was going to play a clip of an old man saying no. So that was not the reason, but the soundboard crashed. These things happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, hang on a minute.
No.
There we go. Right, so that's at point one. Next point.
I was in Rome in January.
Did you see my passport there?
I'm just a burglar. I'm not like a nonce.
I do hope you're not a nonce.
Passport. You know, hey, that bloody man! I don't give a damn what people think.
Yes,
so, Ian.
I found a whole new bank of clips I didn't know I had. It's wonderful. It's like Christmas. It's like Father Christmas coming early.
I'm not coming early, no. Do not go to Cafe Domizano.
Coffee Domizano?
Cafe Domizano.
Tell me why not to go to Cafe Domizano. Because they're scumbags.
They basically are scumbags. They offer a great meal at a great price, but they basically offer you coffee and a bagel, and that's it.
Well,
how
much does that coffee and a bagel cost?
Well, when we were there, it was 25 euros.
Well, you're an idiot then. Did you not look at the price before you ordered?
No, but we did, but...
Right, and did it say on the menu, coffee and a bagel, 25 euros?
No.
What did it say?
Coffee and a bagel, like, 11 euros, but they knew that we were absolutely kegged out of our heads, and they said, right, we'll charge these Scottish idiots 25 euros.
Well, so what, you paid... So the price was 11 euros for coffee and a bagel, but you paid more than double that. Why?
but because we were the court of our chance.
Okay, but so you were, I've been high on drugs before, and I've bought things and not paid ridiculous prices for it, because I'm not an idiot.
But we've never been to Italy before.
Right, okay, but you've been to coffee shops before, right? And you know how money works. It's not like lira or anything, like it used to be. In the old days with francs and lira and what was the Greek one? Drachma. It was confusing because you didn't know what were the equivalent of pounds and pence. But now you know, like a euro is almost literally a pound. You know now. But there's no excuse for it.
We promised we would see the...
bloody man!
I promise we would see the...
Are you mad?
But I've got a third point to make.
Okay. That was the first... So the second point was you're an idiot, right? Yes.
Moving along.
Well,
by the way, if they tried that with me... That's what's happening.
Do not shoot up any post offices, please.
We'll see what happens tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. if they hand my passport over freely, then I won't need to. But like Boris says, you've got to have the threat of no deal there, otherwise they won't negotiate. My threat of no deal.
I shot you down.
I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. So, okay, well then who did shoot the deputy, Bob and Eric? It was one of those two, I think. Who did it? You must know. So you shot the deputy. Okay, you swear it was in self-defense. I'm not convinced by that. It seems a little bit, seems like the fellow we just spoke to wanted to put up a flag. He wouldn't say he shot the police, but he got close to it. He got aggy with them, right?
So he fought the law and the law won.
Exactly. James! Ian, yeah, James.
See the last guy that was on, he was a total weapon and a racist.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I don't know. I don't know if I'd actually go that far. I think he's just really badly informed and educated. Thank you. Liam, you're going to be next. 03-44-499-1000.
So if I listen too long, my brain turns to mush.
Tell me about it. And that's Kath's real voice.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Paul, people are now sending me things, stories about the people where they've been told to put their take their flags down because they're a nuisance. Except they're not. Tom says, I'm not listening right now, but this is on the estate where I live. And you read the Sea Express, patriotic soldier told to remove Union flag from back garden after one neighbour moaned. A former Gulf War veteran, be with you in a second, Lynn, you've been waiting ages, I apologise. A former Gulf War veteran who flew a Union Jack flag in his own garden says he's been ordered to take it down after a neighbour labelled it a nuisance. Patriotic Andrew Smith, 51, installed the flag on a pole in a tribute to Great Britain after serving 6 years in the Royal Signals. Now, that's as far as most people get with the stories.
Yeah.
So what I did, because we've not got much time, I went right down to the end of the story. All right? So it's not the council that have told him, it's the housing company, Harron Homes, right?
Is it a housing association?
Yeah. A spokeswoman for Harron Homes says, on our development in Hucknall, we were alerted to a complaint by one of the residents about a flagpole in the garden of an adjacent property. The restrictive covenant signed by all homeowners does not allow for the placement of any structures, i.e. flagpoles, above a certain height. So it's in the terms and conditions of his housing contract. It's in the terms and conditions. It's not illegal. It's not illegal. It's in the specific contract that he signed with that housing association. You're not allowed to put up flagpoles.
They said homeowners, so I'm thinking it's an estate, but obviously they want to keep a certain look about it, and they've all agreed to it. But when they first moved in,
I'm just trying to find. Yeah, it's an estate. It's in the contract. It's not illegal. It's not illegal to fly the Union flag or the flag of St George. It's not illegal. But in certain places, there'll be, and that's in the contract that he's got. That's one of the rules. He signed that. Okay, you could argue that that's unfair. Possibly, yeah, you could go along with that. But it is in the thing, when you buy a property, but when you rent, it's different. But when you buy a property, there's all kinds of small print about what you can and what you can't do. I remember when I bought this house, my solicitor was really concerned that there was going to be, because it's right, it's near a church. It's about 30-second walk to a church, and quite often, it's not a particularly old church, which makes the difference. But quite often, if it's an old church, there will be something in your freehold that says you have to pay money, tithe, I guess you could call it, but not quite a tithe because that's 10%. But you have to pay money for the upkeep of the church, and also if there is any flooding or anything, then you have to contribute an amount depending on the size of your property. That wasn't, that turns out that wasn't in the freehold. But there's all these weird little things that you quite often don't see. A good solicitor will go through it and point, pick out the ones that he suspects will be particularly relevant to you. It's normally about money. But there's all these little things, little twists and turns.
It's the same thing that stops you planting a really tall tree right next to your wall or whatever, and it overlooks the neighbour's garden. They've got powers then to make you keep it to a certain level. So it's not that unusual. Check what you're signing. Yeah. But so in that particular case, it wasn't about the flag, is what we're saying. It was about the pole.
Charmless Nurk says, it happened to my ex-father-in-law. He put up a massive England flag on a tall pole outside his Grade 2 listed house, and the council made him take it down. He said it was because of political correctness, but actually it's because he's a cock-juggling thunder C-bomb.
I do think it's a strange thing to do in the country where you're waving the flag. I mean, who's it for?
Yeah.
The suggestion is that you're defending against something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you do it within the law, that's all groovy. I wouldn't be offended by it.
0344 499 1000. Liam has been waiting an absolute age, and for that, Liam, I'm eternally grateful, and I can only Philip just says, hello. If that guy doesn't like the rules imposed on him by local British councils, why doesn't he leave? Hello, Liam, what you got for us?
Hello, first time caller, like, I'm mid-length listener. I started listening after the Limmy Patterson incident.
I'm going to give you the, I would say that's short-term.
That is
listener.
Short.
That is short, yeah. But welcome, brother. Welcome. It's good to have you on board.
I've listened to most of the show since then, though.
Okay, I like this guy. I like the cut of this guy's jib.
Actually, my point is, it's like, it's constructive criticism, basically. It's
okay.
Like, I've been listening to your show for a while, and I like it, but when I look on your Twitter, and then from all the things you're posting on your Twitter, I get the perception that the show would be heavily political and all about that. But then when I actually do listen to your show,
it's
that's only
really
a tiny part. And most of it is funny, and I do enjoy that. But
I would say this week, I would agree with you this week, that because we've had the two clips talking about Boris Johnson and Donald Trump. I think one went out last Friday, and then we had another one this week. And it's been a lot of, you're right, it's been a lot of retweeting people who can't, don't know the difference between there and they are, and you're and you are.
Yeah. I get that you're just like kind of like trolling these sort of people. And they're idiots. But when I see those tweets through the day, and I think, I'm not sure if I want to listen to your show, because I think it's kind of based around that sort of thing. I do give the show a go anyway, and that's only a tiny part of it, and I do end up enjoying it.
Yeah.
But for some people that only do look at your Twitter, they might see that and think, oh, it's just going to be Ian talking about Trump and Johnson.
You make a good point.
So I'm not going to bother listening.
But that's only this week. I mean, we've been doing this for three years, and normally it's about willies.
I get your point though, and I would say you are a very new listener. The Limmy thing was maybe maybe a month ago.
Two months ago, but I've listened to most of the shows.
Thank you.
And I have listened to a lot of you. Like, I'm from Birmingham, so I've seen you was on BBC WM. I've gone to the old
vault
on Spotify. I've listened to quite a few of your shows that were on WM.
Nice one, man.
And
thank you.
I've watched a few episodes of the 11 o'clock show.
Oh, like, God. I wouldn't bother with that.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. Like, I've actually quite got into your things.
Oh, well, nice one, man.
Generally, I would be more towards the right wing. Like, I don't support Johnson or Trump, and I don't support any of the idiots that are talking to you on Twitter, but I would be more towards that side.
Yeah.
I'm not really necessarily on the same page as you politically, but I still do enjoy your shows and you as a person, and because it's not about politics, that I can still enjoy it.
All right.
I agree with you.
I think you make an excellent point, actually. I do, and I appreciate you making it. And by the way, I'm all up for constructive criticism. Someone just phones in and goes, well, this is crap. That doesn't really help us. But if someone phones up and puts forward a good case, like you have done, Liam, then I'd be an idiot not to listen. Okay, I think this week has been exceptional. I would say the last seven days has been exceptional.
The problem is, the show is good. It just, if you've seen it on Twitter, you wouldn't think it was good.
All right, I know what you mean. I know.
But it is actually funny, but you probably wouldn't think it was going to be funny.
All right, I know what you mean. I will bear that in mind, and I will make more of an effort to give the real tone of the show across on my Twitter feed. How about that?
Yeah, and also another point, like, one of the funniest things I ever heard was the conversation with you and the alien guy, the one that had the relationship with Barcanium 23 or whatever it was.
Joe Lavens, yeah, he was great.
And when I heard that live on the show, that was really funny, and then I think the clip you put out on Twitter, and I think it was partly because of the bits that you were, like taking the mick out of him, like, that could have come across as bullying.
Bullying.
You only put in the other points where it wasn't funny. So if you just looked at the clip on Twitter, that wasn't funny at all. But if you listen to the whole thing,
I know what you mean.
It's absolutely hilarious.
It's tough with the clips because we suggest bits, but the clip team,
it's not us that makes
the clip team, who are nice people, but maybe a little dry. Yeah. They tend to, unless we specify the specific 90 seconds, they make the clips, and they may or may not choose the. And you're right. And I didn't want it to come across that I was bullying the professor, because I like him on the show, and I'd like to have him back on again.
Yeah, it's like the bits you put out on Twitter, it's like the safe bits, but I mean, to meet people like me and probably a lot of other people, the funniest bits were the bits where you were like mocking him and all that sort of stuff. So that was the funniest bits for me.
Liam, your points are taken on board, and I really appreciate you phoning in and sharing them. Thank you very much, mate.
And this is the first time I've ever listened live. I work during the week, so I listen to it every day, but I listen to it back on the website after work.
Yeah.
So it's only Friday night now that I've actually listened to it live.
Yes, right.
Been able to call in.
Please don't complain about the website being pony. We know it is. the listen again feature is awful.
After last night, I know it was like a little joke or something that happened, but that segment between 11 and half 11, listen to it.
We had to take that down. We had to take that down for legal reasons.
I still don't fully understand, but I know you.
We had to take the 30 minutes of the show last night, the bit that we're going to call it, we had to have taken out for legal reasons. And I have made my apologies, and I've been advised it's probably best if I don't say any more about it. Liam, I really appreciate your feedback, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Dave, you're next. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I tell you what I can't do is I can't do those clever things. Martin Kellner always does. Martin Kellner's in at one. He always does a little game where you've got to be clever. And tonight, it's posh films.
Right.
So I've just, here we go. So one of them, Andy has sent one in. Andy has sent in Hedge of Tomorrow. I would just keep it as Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I've sat here thinking, I can't think, I don't know how, posh. So you've got to change a word or a phrasing to make a film posh. Point Break, that's the name of the film, isn't it? That's the film. Match Point Break.
Okay, what is posh about that?
Tennis is played by Toffs.
Oh well, let's think of something that goes with that. Toff goes in
The Jungle with me.
No.
Oh, hang on. Eton Mess.
Right, and that works because
Eton is posh.
And what is that film?
Is there a film called Ton Mess?
Let's try a different one.
Is there a film with the word ton in? Because I would like to change it to Eton.
I can't think of one.
Ton up. Eat, drink, be merry. Eaten, drink, be merry.
No, eat.
Sleep.
Isn't it sleep? Isn't it eat, pray, love? Is that it's called?
Eaten, pray, love.
I think that'll do. I think that will do.
Let's do another one. You do one. And I'll do another one. It's a fun game, but I don't like brain games.
Okay, let me think of one.
Let me think. I can't even think of a film. I can't think of any films.
What about The Ladyship Vanishes?
Yeah, that's good. Avengers Bender Game.
What, sorry?
Avengers Bender Game.
Why Bender?
Because they're posh.
Are they?
Posh people act like benders.
Do they?
I think so.
Oh.
Okay. Oh! Star World Wars 1.
Gosh.
Because a lot of toffs ordered the war, World War 1. The posh people ordered World War, donkeys leading lions. Star World Wars 1. And then Star World Wars 2, The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Actually, it's quite easy, this.
Turns out. What about...
I'm thinking of something that's posh and then working backwards. Who is the guy that got blown off by Divine Brown in a car?
Hugh.
Hugh Grant. Okay. So, Hugh Grant is posh.
Definitely.
So, give me a film that's got Grant...
You in it.
No, I'm not in... Oh, I'm in that film with Angelina Jolie, Beyond Borders.
I mean, barely, but... no,
well,
you,
I'm in it. I'm definitely in it. I'm
thinking named... Hugh sounds like you.
Hugh and
Hugh... Hugh only live...
Hugh only get blown off...
Once. Twice. Once, we know of.
Do you know how he got busted for that?
Was the car rocking and they bothered knocking?
No. Right, so this is true, because I did a programme about it for BBC One. I had a series on BBC One once, imagine. And I went out to where it happened. I was in the street where it happened. So it was in like a sort of main street or something. And he's receiving a blowjob from Divine Brown, right? And the only reason that anyone knew, I think there was a police, there was a car
was
behind
him. Was
his
leg sticking out of the car?
No, there was a car
was
behind
his leg
him.
Sticking out of the car?
No. He's jabbing the brake as she's pleasuring him. And so the brake lights are flashing on and off as he's jabbing the brake.
Wow, like a rude disco.
Yeah. And so someone just came up and went, everything all right? And, oh, my God, you're under arrest. Because he's jabbing the brakes.
Blimey.
Hugh Grant only lives twice.
Brilliant. Can we stop this?
Quantum of Solace.
Because it sounds posh.
Yeah. There's two posh words in there. Quantum of Solace. Don't know what they mean.
I think he's called Quantum and he lives in Solace.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Robin of Sherwood.
Okay. That would explain it.
Oh, it should be Quintin of Solace. That works.
Okay. Well, now we're just tossing ideas around and this is great fun. Throbin Hood. Oh, that's pornos. Sorry. Throbin Hood I was thinking of. Robin Day Hood.
I'm Robin Day.
Is he posh? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Robin Day Hood. Robin Day in the Hood.
Boys in Robin Day.
Oh, no.
Retract.
We've crossed the line.
Retract.
We've crossed the line. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. I just thought of a River Runs Hewitt.
Beautiful.
Well, hang on a minute. Now, here's the thing. We can't, although I think he's asleep, so we can. But it's unethical to steal Martin Kellner's features. His nose, his eyes, for example. So you have to like, text him or tweet him. I don't care. A River Runs Hewitt. Okay. Well, let me think of one.
As good as it, Quentin Letts.
Okay. Okay. I've got a film. I've thought of a film and I've got to try and make it posh. Hang on, what?
A Reese Mogg's Life.
What's that supposed to be?
A Dog's Life.
But it doesn't work.
Mogg's Life.
I thought of a film and the film I've thought of is Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
And so I would say, Pup Fiction.
Why?
Because puppies are posh.
Are they?
I've only ever seen a posh person with a puppy in their handbag, like Tamara Eccleston. Tamara Eccleston never knows.
Dies.
That's a Beatles song. Tamara Eccleston
never dies. Tamara never dies was a...
Tamara Eccleston never dies.
Beautiful.
All right. Whatever I try.
Can we? Oh, what?
Hmm?
Can we stop this now?
Jacob Rees-Mogg's ladder. Roger, send that in.
The Queen Mile.
Okay, Casino Royales. Casino Royals.
We're actually stealing his phone in now.
Yeah. Thatcher us if you can. Catch us if you can.
Thatcher's if
Thatcher,
you can.
Thatcher's if you can. Oh! Past the castle? Like in Past the Parcel? Is there a film called Past the Parcel? Probably. There should be. Is there a film called Past the Parcel, Dave?
I don't think so.
There should be. Because it's a phrase that people say a lot, don't they? They say it a lot.
Yeah.
To the manor...
Over the top?
No, nah, it's not a very good one. Not as good as this one. To the manor born to boogie...
What?
Born to Boogie is a film. To the manor born to boogie.
That's a...
To the manor born on tomato.
Right, don't do what... Here's a little tip, Dave, if you want to stay in my good books. When I say something, don't then improve it. Right? Don't improve. No, that's rude.
That's where I fall foul.
Kath has learned that lesson. That is rude, Dave, and that is disrespectful to me. For me to say something and then you improve on it immediately makes it work. At least leave it 5 minutes. It shows me and you as ignorant of good manners. David, what have you called in for? Yeah, apology is considered. What have you... apology is under consideration. We will get back to you within 21 days.
I just say it was good to see you in Belfast last week.
We were there. Why, when they say, like, 10 working days, why don't they include Saturdays and Sundays?
Because they're not traditionally working days.
Excuse me? My first job was on a Saturday.
Although, you know, actually, the weekend is a quite modern construct.
Except for, who invented the weekend? Dave will know.
Was it the Victorians?
Nope.
Was it the,
No, I don't know. Was it your mum?
Sammy Davis Jr.?
Oh, you don't know who invented the,
The lens.
First of all, you say Dolenz, and it's not, it's Dolenz, so, you're out. I tell you who invented the weekend.
Please.
Because before that, people would just work every day. Henry Ford.
Oh, yeah,
like he knew.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'll continue to put the willies up you in just a second. We've got some phone calls. I think this system's been down. At least that's the story I'm going to tell myself tonight. Hello, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Although, it's getting very spooky round here.
Yes, isn't it? It's getting really scary. I've actually got a ghost story for you.
Excellent. Do you want some music?
Yeah, go on. Make it spooky.
All right. It's not going to have a tragic end or anything, is it?
No. It's,
all right, here we go.
It's quite a happy ending.
All right. Okay, let's
watch a happy ending.
Everyone likes a happy ending, Matt. Come on.
Well, yeah. So, a while ago, I was lying in bed one night and I heard this sort of hissing noise. It was like a sort of sound and I couldn't see where it was coming from. And I looked around and there was nothing there. And I thought, oh well, you know, maybe it's just, you know, atmospheric conditions or something. And over the next few days it got sort of gradually every night, but slightly louder, and it started becoming a sort of a hum, and then a sort of throbbing sound.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, and it was really worrying.
How did that go again?
Sort of like that, you know, and then...
Classic throbbing, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of really, really eerie. And it was only after about a week that I twigged that I'd changed my cat's food and she was farting.
could cut the music.
Yeah.
So that, your cat had a haunted anus, is what you're saying.
My cat was releasing spirit into the world from her haunted anus. And, so, you know, ghosts don't exist, and anyone who thinks they do is an idiot.
Quite enough. Oh, God. That was brilliant. Thank you so much. Let's have a word with, Dom. Hello, Dom.
Hi, Chelsea, I can't talk. I'm at work.
Oh. What are you ringing me for, then?
Do us a favour. Check your Twitter. I pre-recorded it. I planned ahead.
What?
I pre-recorded the phone call and videoed it and put it on Twitter. I tweeted you.
Okay, well, I haven't got it.
It's on your Twitter, woman.
Flipping
have a look.
God, I probably muted you.
Well, probably.
I'll have a look and try and find it in a minute. I'm a bit busy, Dom.
You're a bit busy?
Yeah.
You're talking about cats farting.
Fair play. Let's have a word with Susan. Susan, save me, for God's sake.
I can't even save myself, let alone anyone else. Hello?
Hello, what you got?
Well, I'm going back this year. I think it was the end of May, beginning of June time, right?
Yeah.
It was in the morning, this was. My husband was going to drop me off to a boot sale.
Hang on, are you going to launch into a spooky story? Because I've got the music for that.
Yes, here we go. It is spooky. It's actually very spooky.
Here we go.
Anyway, what it was, we were in the car and we went past one of the little halls. It's a community hall and there's a garden area there, okay? When we were just going past by the car, this is 8 o'clock in the morning, the children go to school and everything, so it was a quiet area.
Mm-hmm.
There was this swing, you know the old tyre wheels, the black, what they make a swing out of.
Yeah.
It was absolutely swinging so high and violently as if someone was pushing it really, really high in the sky. There was not one person in that ground, number one, because we both looked up, you know, my husband's driving the car, and I said, there's no one in there, you know, in this little garden bit of the hall. And I thought that was 8 o'clock in the morning, daylight, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the following week or so, I went past there, and the actual swing bit was just on the ground, just laid on the ground, and it hasn't been put up since.
Ooh.
Now, I'm wondering, I haven't made inquiries or anything, it does seem... Obviously, it was quite eerie sort of thing, and I'm wondering if there is something that is going on there, you know? Mm. Very weird, isn't it?
What, a swing going by itself, and then all of a sudden...
It was, honestly, there was no one pushing. It was really going up. You know how they go, like, in the air? It was really going up ever so high and everything, and it looked like, you know, it looks like the force of somebody pushing it, but there was no one there pushing it.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying, honestly. Yeah.
Is that the first spooky thing you've ever experienced?
No, I've had other things. I'll tell you another one happened. The building's not there now. It's been pulled down. There was me and two other people. We were allowed to walk in this old office building. And I just went round with my mobile phone. I just went round taking pictures, okay, through... the window, you know, the glass windows and that go through to the hallways and that. Anyway, I thought, later I'd just check them out and everything. I couldn't believe my eyes. I've actually got the image on my phone and that. I've got a picture of this sort of, as if somebody's sort of sitting on the chair, because there was no one worked in there now. It was nobody else in there, only us. And I've got this... this figure, like of a face, like he's sitting down on a chair. Yep.
Blimey.
And that happened last year. That happened last August, that did. Yeah, but I didn't see anything. I was just taking pictures, you know, in this old place. Yeah, so that's another
one.
Yeah.
Oh, Susan, you are spooky.
I know, yeah. But I do find it very interesting. this subject. I'm in Blackpool at the moment with my friend.
We've
gone away. We're only just arrived today. So, because as you know, I'm from Holland-on-Sea in Essex. My friend's from Essex as well. So we're in a hotel and we're just going to see what's going on and go out and everything. So, yeah.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Right, here we go. Right, back to... Let's get the vibe back. The pinnacle. Some of these people that ring up. 03444991000. I mean, so far we've had a haunted cat's anus and a song about Dom being trapped in the toilet. I mean, you know how to... I'm trying to inject a touch of class here. Right. Where were we? Force myself to open my eyes. And what I... Oh, this is after she's been trying the magic book for days and nothing's happened. And apparently she's continued even though nothing was happening, right? Then she started hearing whispering and it turned into a voice. And the voice was saying, Nina, which was, by coincidence, her name. There's nothing there, I told myself firmly. It's your imagination playing tricks on you. None of this is real. I forced myself to open my eyes and what I saw made me whimper with fear. There was a black hooded figure standing right at the end of my bed. And behind it, shadow figures were darting in and out of the wall. Nina!
They called.
Nina! I lay awake all night until the sun finally came up and the figures faded away. Bullshine! You would not lie there, would you? You'd be out of there. I never believed these things where it said, oh, and suddenly I woke up and it was morning. No, that happens. You are out of there. And you spend the rest of your natural life trying to work out what it was. Anyway, purple writing. It's okay to confess. You look really tired, honey, my dad said the next day. Did you get a bad night's sleep? If only he knew. But I didn't dare tell him what happened. He'd go nuts if he knew I'd been playing with the spirit board. What about the people going in and out of his bloody walls? Night after night, I was haunted by these terrifying shadow figures and the voice whispering my name. Nina! Nina! Maybe we should take you to a doctor, Mum said, concerned about my pale face, black rings under my eyes and lack of energy. I'm fine. Don't worry, I muttered. But when my aunt rang and asked if I could stay over for a couple of nights to babysit my little cousin, I jumped at the chance. It can't get me here, I thought happily to myself, as I snuggled down on the couch to watch television at my aunt's house. I'm finally safe. Yeah, because that's how it works. Exhausted, my eyes began to close. Within seconds, I was asleep. I woke with a start an hour or two later and immediately knew something was wrong. The light in the living room was flickering over my head. Oh, no, I groaned. Not here, please. The following night, I didn't sleep a wink. All night long, I could hear whispering in my cousin's bedroom. Oh, shush. All right, advert. I've got to find more spooky music now. Shouldn't off go on? Hang on. Let's go. Hang on. Sorry about this, everyone. Sorry about this. Let's go back and go for spooky music and magical music. Go. Ah, oh, right, more adverts. I'm just going to turn it down a second and let it play. Honestly, you know, I understand about market forces and stuff, YouTube, but I'm trying to, like, foster a vibe here. And frankly, you're not helping. I'm sure your products are excellent. I'm sure that you've got to make ends meet. I get it. Hang on. Skip ads. Right, we're in. We're back in. Oh, no, I groan. Not here, please. The following night, I didn't sleep a wink. All night long, I could hear whispering in my cousin's bedroom. But he wasn't sleeping in there. He was in his parents' room. Hang on a minute. Here's Matt. Is this the same Matt or different Matt?
Same one, sorry, but I mean...
Matt of the cat's haunted anus.
Well, yeah, but I am something of a paranormal expert.
Turns out.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, even though I've never spoken about it before, but...
Well, sometimes it only takes one to trigger the rest, and I'm glad that you're finding an exit here today.
I've sat on it for some time.
Well, unleash, Matt. Let's hear it.
My expertise. The thing with this Nina thing is that it's a common occurrence in ghostly hauntings that you hear something like Nina. Because, yeah, because when you've, say you've eaten a spicy chili, your first, you know, it'll be a couple of hours later, you'll be in bed, be lying there, and you'll hear this sort of sound.
Are you talking about farts again, Matt?
Nope.
You're no help at all. Get off. Honestly. I'm trying to... This is serious investigation. Pretty ruining it. Right. Where did we get up to? Oh, yeah. The entity had followed me. And she's jumped to the conclusion. We'll allow her to. I mean, it does sound pretty spooky. I wasn't safe anywhere. By the way, 03444991000, if you're going to take this seriously, I want your ghost stories, but I don't want you ruining the vibe. Like Matt, his continual talk of farting. 03444991000. The entity had followed me, and I realised I wasn't safe anywhere. A few nights later, as I lay in my own bed, my eyes tightly shut, saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again in my head. By the way, I've done that, because when I was a kid, probably about 13... I was obsessed with vampires, and I thought that, obviously, they don't like the Lord's Prayer. That's the ones. And sure enough, I never got bitten. So, and I always slept with my covers around my neck as well, and made sure my eyes were firmly shut. I wasn't going to get caught in the old death stare, where you end up going out in the garden in your nightie, which is always very brief, I found in those films. See-through nighties that you don't want to be caught in a... I don't know, what if there's a... My mum used to always say, what if there's a fire? You've got to think of that. Make sure you're covered up. Yeah, so Lord's Prayer, classic. Over and over again in my head, I felt a cold pressure on my foot. The hooded figure, ladies and gentlemen, had physically touched me. That was the final straw. I knew this couldn't carry on any longer. The next morning, I threw the spirit board into the rubbish bin outside our house, but as I did so, I heard a growl. I'll be back! Whispered that familiar, menacing voice. The energy... Oh, again, with the adverts! The energy in my house felt lighter after that, but I still had the sense that the entity hadn't gone completely. You can't just bin them. I've seen enough films to know you just can't bin them. 03444991000. One day, do you know what? There's still a bit to go, so I think that she's not seen the last of this. You can't just bin them. They can't be recycled. One day, demonic entity, purple writing. One day, my old cousin Amy came to visit. I soon discovered that, like me, she was fascinated by goats and the paranormal. Have you ever seen a goat? She asked me. I found myself telling her all about the spirit board and the entity it had unleashed. I think it's demonic, I told her. It's definitely evil. But even as I spoke, I noticed the house had fallen unnaturally quiet. What's that noise? My cousin whispered, her eyes wide and scared. I can hear heavy breathing. I could too. That was me. Don't be scared. That was just me. I won't do it again. We were alone in the house. The noise was coming from the direction of the stairs. We both turned to look. And as we did, the dog who was sitting at my feet... Can you see the flaw in this scientific plan? Who was breathing heavily? Oh, there's no one else here apart from a dog known to pant. The dog who was sitting at my feet and hadn't been mentioned before, but is now coming into play because it's going to do something unusual, I'm guessing, looked too. She growled deep in her throat. Whatever was there, she could see it. And she didn't like it. Not one bit. After that, I never truly felt safe in my own home. I was so relieved when we moved house a year or so later. This is going to have a disappointing ending, by the way. But as the years passed and I grew up, I gradually forgot all about it. Until 2011. I'd recently given birth to my son, and he was sleeping in his cot next to my bed while I dozed next to him. Suddenly, I jerked awake. A black hooded figure was walking across the room and into the wall. The demonic entity hadn't left me. It had just been waiting, biding its time. I think it's attached to me, but I somehow created that attachment by playing with the spirit board as a 15-year-old. I know that I'm sensitive to spirit, as I've had so many strange experiences on Bacardi breezes. I don't know its identity, but sometimes I wonder exactly what it wants from me. I truly hope that I never, ever find out the answer to that. What a load of old balls.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We've only got, like, 15 minutes left, really. What with adverts and all. I know a lot of you were chilled to the bone with that last thing. So, you know, I just want to say to you, you know, very unusual to find a spooky book with gobbledygook writing in it that conjures up the spirits of weird demons that come into your bedroom. It's so rare, in fact, that it just never happens. So please don't be spooked by it. But this next thing is on a page that says true life. So do you know what I mean? So this is something that maybe will be helpful to some of you, specifically people who, I don't know, maybe you've got a needle phobia. Because apparently the secret to eternal youth is psychic Botox. Nilofer Attic 43 from Surrey is writing this on the True Life page of beauty. Because you can have psychic related beauty treatments, right? And if you haven't tried them, then you're a mug. Nilofer Attic 43 from Surrey. I used psychic Botox to give my face a natural lift. I mean, and her face is lifted. Fair play. That's a lifted face if ever I saw one. She looks surprised. In a good way. And there's a picture of a man with his hands just hovering over her face, obviously giving her psychic Botox. I mean, why is it any more unusual than putting actual stuff in your face? Why should it not work? Staring into the mirror at the crow's feet around my eyes and jawline starting to droop, I sighed in dismay. Tell me about it. I was only 43, and I'm not there yet, but looked about 100 thanks to endless sleepless nights. Not only did my other half snore, but I had a toddler and a full-time job to juggle. You should try this new facial, my mate Sarah said one day. It'll knock years off you. Oh, I've tried all those expensive potions and lotions before, I grumbled. They don't work. But this facial was different. She promised there wasn't a scrub or cream in sight. Instead, the practitioner, an energy healer called Toby, used his own healing powers to smooth out the skin. Smoothing Toby. All the celebs are having it, she gushed. It's so good, it's known as psychic Botox. Botox without needles? Okay, I was sold. A few days later, I arrived at the plush treatment rooms in Soho with minimal makeup on. There's no need to remove it, explained Toby. I won't be touching your face at all. Toby explained, pranic healing is in purple. Pranic healing. Toby explained that he'd be working on the invisible energy field surrounding my body to balance it out using pranic healing, an alternative medicine system that heals by increasing and moving the body's energy. I've removed fine lines and wrinkles, firm jaw lines, and even enlarged lips on clients doing this, he went on. By the way, if you're listening, you've got thin lips, brace yourselves, because even listening to this, you might find you start swelling up. Don't sue me. Don't sue me. That's the power of radio and psychic waves. If you do start feeling a swelling, can you give me a ring? 03444991000. There wouldn't be any physical touch involved either, but Toby said I might feel pulling sensations, tingling or hot and cold as he hovered his hands over various parts of my body. That's because I'll be hoovering up the negative feelings I can sense in various spots so the body can heal itself, he added. In fact, let me just send out some vibes, you know. Let me see if I can hoover up your negative spots. Blimey. Oh, that's strong. Wow, all this sounded right up my street. Lying down on the treatment couch, I closed my eyes as Toby started circling and bouncing his hands over my chest area. Then working his way down to my feet. It was like he was patting an invisible force field into shape. I noticed he paid special attention to my heart and root chakras. Pulling feeling. When he reached my feet, I felt a strong tingling sensation. 03444991000. You can make this stop whenever you want. As though he was yanking something out of the soles of my feet. I mean, by the time he started on my face, the actual psychic Botox treatment bit, I felt like I was floating on a cloud. My cheeks became really hot, then cold, as though a blast of wind had just blown through the room. Does he have a window open, I asked myself. I peered through one eye to check, but no. It was just Toby's hands gently circling several inches above my nose. Every minute or so, he performed a strange flicking movement, as though batting away something nasty. That must be the toxic energy coming out, I said to myself. I got a tingling feeling again when he did this, especially on my forehead where there were lots of frown lines. Is anyone else getting a swelling or tingling at this point?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
This is what I love about this show. No matter how weird the stories I find are, we play top trumps with you, dear listener, and I'm always going to lose. This is from Sharon, who said, have you seen this? Toad is a normal dog, apart from one thing. Her ear has teeth and it salivates. She's got a mouth in her ear hole. She's currently at a rescue centre for animals with major medical issues in Oklahoma City after being picked up as a stray. Founder of Mutt Misfits, I mean, that's unfortunate. What if they find out they're going to be hurt? Said immediately we recognised that she was very different to most dogs. She was initially showing lots of aggression, but once she and I got together, all that disappeared. There is a clip. We've got to listen to it. Here it is. I mean, teeth and a mouth that dribbles in your ear.
I'm going to take a little video of her ear mouth. Mouth. There's a little bit of drool. Let me see your mouth.
All right, they're closing in on the ear.
There's a little flap.
Oh my.
This is your mouth.
It's got little buck teeth.
It's beautiful, your mouth.
I mean, beautiful is a stretch.
There's something, isn't it?
Blimey.
I'm going to take a little...
I mean... an ear mouth. Upon her initial intake exam at the shelter, our veterinarian originally thought she had extra ears. But once we sedated her for her spay surgery, that's when we discovered she actually has one ear and two mouths. However, Toad doesn't suffer because of her second mouth. Heather said we originally thought it had two teeth, but we did a dental cleaning on the ear a few weeks ago and discovered it has several. A few of the ear teeth had cracked, which caused some discomfort. But once we removed the broken teeth, she was as good as new. The main teeth we kept since they appear to be attached to the skull. We certainly can't rule out that the ear mouth might cause further issues in the future, but that's okay. We can just take one day at a time. I mean, where'd you put your Werther's original when you've got two mouths? The poor thing! Doesn't seem to be causing any problems, but I mean, to say it's unsightly is, mind you, I suppose, who am I to judge? I maybe have one of those. You hear about people all the time, don't you? You go in for surgery and find they've got a tumour, and then when they open the tumour up, it's another person in there. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm all right, thank you. You're being very quiet.
Am I?
Yeah. There you are.
Talking about teeth and things,
mm-hmm.
You've put me on a different tangent now. My ex-partner, she had six fingers and six toes.
Gosh.
And with surgery, she had them taken off.
Oh, I see. Right, she didn't keep them.
Well, it wouldn't be shaking hands with somebody, would it?
Could be useful for, like, basketball and stuff.
Shut up.
I often find that I don't have enough hands to carry, so an extra hand would be useful. But so she got rid. Were they, like, fully formed fingers and toes then, or were they not?
Apparently so, yeah. She was only a kid.
Blimey.
Yes.
I think it's a bit of a shame to get rid then.
No, well, no.
If they work.
Well, no, she had extra toes on her feet.
Well, I didn't expect them to be anywhere else, but if they had been, I'd have liked to have seen it. So, did she have any ill effects from that? I mean, you hear about people having things removed, and then they're, like, still itchy and that.
Yes. I know, you know, some people, if they've had their, like, leg removed or something, you can still feel your leg.
Yeah, they get pins and needles and stuff, don't they?
Yes, yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, any reports of that?
No, she was only a little girl.
She
was only about 2 or 3, so no, it didn't affect her.
No, good. All right. Anyway, what's going on with you this week, Chris?
Oh.
What adventures have you had?
I don't write. I'm going to nip over the chip shop across the way there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's not far from me. And right, so I went over there. And I can't see very well, Catherine.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Well, I don't mean to mention it all the time.
No, I'm just saying, you've mentioned that.
I don't dwell on it.
No, you certainly don't. You would never know.
So I put my hand on the counter, right, and I thought, right, what is this? And it was one of these little bells.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what's this? And I just thought about Fawlty Towers. Ding, 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 ding. I thought, why have we got this on the counter, please? And I realised what it was.
Go on.
It was a little bell.
Okay. I thought it was going to be something else than that. So did you press it?
Oh, yes, I did. Well, they accused me of pinching it. Then I haven't pinched it. I said, can I buy it, please?
Right. Is it a big chip shop, then? You have to ring for assistance?
No.
What have they got a bell for, then?
No. That's why I asked them.
And what did they say?
Why have we got a bell on the counter, please? Oh, just because if we'd out in the back of the counter.
Uh-huh. I see. That's a good story.
I find it quite funny, actually.
Well, it's a curious thing.
I know. I've never seen... Well, I wouldn't have said... See, I'm very touchy. I when you lose your sight, Catherine, you tend to be sort of put your hands down. And, gosh, it can get you into trouble sometimes.
Oh, really? Because that you're using your hands to see in a way.
Oh gosh, I remember I my hands were in front of me and they were quite sort of chest height.
Oh dear.
Oh, don't say oh dear.
I think I know where this is going, Chris.
I know. I did have to apologise. I do apologise. I'm really sorry. And yes, I did put my hands on her breast.
Gosh. Excuse me, sir. I mean,
purpose.
Madam.
Oh, I was so embarrassed.
I bet.
It's terrible. But that's what you do when you go blind. It's a bloody nightmare.
I bet it's not fun.
But never mind. You got a smile about it. And see, I'm still wound up about that bleeding little bell over the chippy.
Forget about the bell, Chris. It's not important. But it's I suppose it's a handy way to summon someone from a back room. can't all be sitting there waiting for Chris to turn up for his... What are you having, haddock and chips?
No, I didn't. I never have a bag of chips.
What,
I don't.
What did you have then?
Something I buy. It's not... I just thought, right, I'm going to have a bag of chips for a change.
Beautiful.
Well, no, it's not beautiful.
It is. It is, Chris. You've got to live a little. Chip butty is one of the finest things in life.
Oh, just because you're from the north,
I love a chip
you're
butty.
A man.
Yeah, I love a chip butty. Pie and chips. Pie, chips and gravy. Now you're toying with my dreams, Chris. When I was pregnant, I live down south now, and when I was pregnant, I remember sending my husband to the shop, to the chip shop, and asking him to bring me a pie back. And he said when he asked for a pie, he might as well have been asking for lobster. They're like, what? We've got a pack of pies. We haven't got meat and potato pies.
Well,
ooh.
When my ex, she used to send me over to Sainsbury's over the shop on a Sunday morning.
Very posh.
What do you mean, posh?
Sainsbury's is posh.
So I said, right, okay, right, what do we need? Right. And I know where you are. You're in the pub. I can hear music. No, it's Sainsbury's music.
Chris.
How terrible. I said.
Busted. And
I done it again. I booked us into an hotel. Right, go and buy us something. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm coming back. What I do? Now, they had a nice bar in the hotel. Right, where are you? Right, I'm coming back. I am. Right, I can hear music. I am. And she accused me of being in the bar again. Oh, I'm terrible, see?
She was right, though, wasn't she?
Oh, she was, yes.
She's not daft. She might have had six fingers to start with, but she had both her ears and they both functioned.
But I couldn't believe about that bell.
I can hear the disbelief in your voice, Chris.
I know. They accused me of pinching the bell.
Did you pinch the bell?
No, I did not.
You sound guilty as hell.
No, I did not. I did tap. It just reminded me of Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Because I put my hand on the top of it.
Oh, that excuse again, is it?
What? What do you mean?
Feeling with your fingers, slipping it into your bag.
No, I've not pinched anything in my life, I'll have you know.
I bet you haven't. All right, thanks for ringing, Chris. I'm just having a bit of fun with you, don't worry. I won't grass you up for being a bell thief. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you, Catherine?
I'm all right, thank you. Thanks for hanging on.
You're okay. I think that Chris was dinging all the way.
He was. We heard about that bell a lot, didn't we? I think he was quite confused by it.
I think he nicked the bell.
we all think he nicked the bell. He'll be furious we're saying that, though. Anyway, what have you got for me, Alan?
Well, last night I couldn't ring you because my phone had gone dead and I was listening to the radio and you were on about spooky stories.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, I've got a spooky story for you.
Right.
Right, okay. So, my father, he used to buy and sell cars. So, he bought this old Rover D6, the old 2000 with no electric windows and no central locking light.
Okay.
It did got a fault on the battery, so, it was a dynamo, not an alternator on that then the cars.
Alan, you're saying a lot of words and none of them are anything I understand. I get it. So it was an old car.
Yeah, and the alternator charges the battery. So
okay.
The battery was, so anyway,
we're
outside to start it up and leave it running. So we're sitting in the car and all of a sudden the locks went down and the car completely went white inside. And it lasted for a few seconds, and then it really got hot in temperature.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, it disappeared.
What?
And we found out later that car had been rebuilt, and somebody had died in it. So how's that one?
You give me the willies, Alan.
Well, that is honest gospel. I thought I'd just tell you that one. That's when what happened to me and my father that night.
God. Have you ever had any other spooky experiences, or was that the one?
No. My nana and granddad was dying. Well, we didn't know they were dying. My granddad was in hospital. He had a stroke. And something called the death clock. And it like ticks and ticks until the person dies. And that's another one.
What?
We heard that in
the death clock? You heard it?
I heard the death clock, yeah.
Oh, blimey, Alan.
I know. But, no, I'm telling you, any more sense.
I think that'll do, won't it?
I think that's enough.
Haunted cars and death clocks, that's enough for any lifetime.
Well, that's it. I'm just out on the reef tonight, so, as usual.
All right, well, thanks for giving us a ring, I appreciate it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk, with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Right, hands down, the best thing I got for Christmas this year was a subscription to the Paranormal Monthly chat, It's Fate. Guess who got me that? Yeah, my best mate Ian Lee knows exactly what I like. It's like, you know, hang on, let me see how many pages. It's not very fat. It's about 62 pages of bullshine every single month, right? And I've got the September 2019 issue in my hands now. Inexplicably, it's always 2 months ahead, right? So here's the latest one I've got. And I've opened it to the first sort of feature. Intriguing True Life is the heading, right? And it's called Be Careful What You Wish For. And it's about a guy called Chris in Newport, South Wales, who lost one sense and gained another. Intrigued, I thought you would be. Here is another instalment of spookiness, courtesy of the good people at Chat It's Fate. And Chris Barber, 59, of Newport, South Wales. Climbing into my car and buckling the seatbelt, I groaned. Not because of that, you pervert. It was Monday morning in December 2016, and I had another long week of commuting 70 miles each way to my job as a graphic designer ahead of me. I wish I didn't have to do this, I muttered to myself. I hated the job, hated the long hours, hated the commute. My blood pressure was sky high from the stress of doing a job I loathed. What I really wanted to do was to focus on my own art. But truth be told, I knew I wasn't good enough to make it as a professional artist. I'd tried to paint before, but the end result was always rigid and uninspired. The graphic design job paid the bills. What choice did I really have? Sighing to myself, I started the engine and set off for work. They say be careful what you wish for. I've always wondered if someone up there was listening to my plea that day. Intrigued? You should be. Let's read on. Christmas rolled around and at least I got some time off work to relax. The family were coming to stay with my wife Sharon and I for a few days. On Christmas Eve, I nipped into Bristol City Centre with my grandchildren for a bit of last-minute Christmas shopping. After a trip to Santa and a mince pie, we headed home. There was no need for that extra detail. He just gave it to you. You know why? Because he's an artist. He thinks in pictures. I was carrying my one-year-old granddaughter Naomi over the threshold when all of a sudden I came over really light-headed. I put Naomi down, staggered to the nearest chair, and sat down, putting my head in my hands. Are you okay, Chris? My wife Sharon sounded worried. Oh, are you okay, Chris? That's more worried. I looked up to reassure her that I was all right and realised I couldn't see her properly. I had poor vision in my left eye, but nothing that stopped me reading, driving or using a computer. Purple writing, blurred vision. Now my right eye was blurred too. There was a big white blob right in the middle of my vision. I could barely make out my wife's face. Yes, I'm fine, love, I mumbled. I had a bit of a funny turn, but I'm sure I'll be okay in a minute. I didn't want to worry Sharon, not with a house full of people, not over Christmas. Anyway, perhaps my sight would come back as quickly as it had disappeared. But it didn't. And by the time I went to bed, I was so worried that I told Sharon what happened. One minute I could see and the next I couldn't, I confessed.
Sharon looked at me horrified. Chris, why didn't you tell me? You could have had a stroke. Not like that, you perverts. We're going straight to hospital first thing in the morning. So instead of spending Christmas Day with the family, Sharon and I spent it at the local hospital in Bristol. I was poked and prodded and underwent all sorts of tests. The doctors tried to work out what was wrong with me. My blood pressure had skyrocketed, so I was given an MRI scan to examine my heart and nervous system and rule out the possibility of the stroke. That kind of stroke. I tried to make the most of Christmas, but I was too worried. We all were. A few days later, I was given the result of my test. The artery at the back of your eye is blocked, the doctor told me. It's because of the high blood pressure. That's what's caused the loss of sight. That's good to know, I nodded. Will you be able to fix it? Permanent loss. I'm thinking not. I'm sorry, Mr. Barber, the consultant said. See, they spoilt it by putting the little subheading before it, because I wanted to know whether he was going to, you know, he was going to get his sight back. And then they put permanent loss in big purple writing there. So you know what's coming next. You might as well not bother. I'm sorry, Mr. Barber, the consultant said. I'm afraid the loss of sight is permanent. We know, because of the permanent loss thing. All we can try to do now is stop it getting worse. I left the hospital numb with shock. It took a while for the full... By the way, if you want to give me a ring, you can. I'm really not precious about this story. 034... I know it's great. And I know you're all gripped. But if you want to give me a ring, don't be polite. Interrupt. 0344-499-1000. Back to Chris. I had no choice but to give up my job, sign up for disability benefit, and I was worried sick and fell into depression. What are we going to do for money? I worried to Sharon. But Sharon, who is a working medium with a direct line to spirit, seemed less concerned than I'd expected. Sprung that one on us, didn't he? Everything happens for a reason, she said, patting my hand. The angels granted your prayer to give up work. And yes, it seems pretty brutal now, but you've got to trust in the universe it's going to be okay. Why didn't she tell him this when he first had his sight loss? Could have skipped the whole thing. She could have just told him the end of this story. Instead, she let him go through it. I think we need to have a word with Sharon. Helping out. Although I was spiritual myself, I was pretty sceptical about that, but at least now I had the chance to get more involved with Sharon's spiritual work, which is something I'd always wanted to do. She had her own healing centre at our home, seeing customers for Reiki healing and psychic readings. One day, I was sitting quietly in the room, listening as she did a tarot card reading for a customer. Suddenly, the image of a woman came into my head. I could see her so clearly in my mind's eye. I found myself picking up a pen, pulling a notebook towards me, and drawing the image that had popped into my head. Sharon and the customer looked at me. What are you doing? Sharon asked. She should have known. But the customer was staring down in shock at what I drew on my notepad. No, not that, you pervert. Oh my God, she gasped. Seriously, no, not that, you pervert. You've just drawn my grandmother. Purple writing, identical image. Listen, I've skipped ahead with my eyes. I can see the photo of the grandmother. I can see the picture. It's not identical. She pulled out her phone and showed me and Sharon a photo of an older lady. I could just about make her out. And she was the spitting image of the woman I'd just drawn. She wasn't. It turned out that she'd passed away a few years previously. The customer was delighted that we'd been able to bring her through. The sketch is amazing, she gushed. You're such a talented artist. Thanks, I muttered, a bit embarrassed at the compliment. That was amazing, Chris, Sharon said afterwards. I think you must have a gift. I shrugged. I've suddenly become a talented artist overnight. But that can't happen, can it? Not that sort of gift, Sharon told me. I think you've got a spiritual gift. I laughed. I doubt it, you know. It was probably just a one-off. I told you before, you've got to trust the universe, Sharon said. I know your spirit guides are with you. I can see them, even if you can't. She smiled at me. How does he know? There's more to this story. I think this is what your guides and the universe meant to happen all along. I started drawing regularly for Sharon's clients, and it was like a channel had opened up. Suddenly I could draw and paint in the free, uninhibited way I'd always dreamed of doing. I never thought about it logically. It just flowed out of me without me realizing it. It's like when you're driving a car and suddenly you're at your destination, but you're not sure how you got there, I said to Sharon, trying to put the feelings into words. It's your spirit guides taking over, controlling you and putting the pencil or paint where it needs to go, Sharon explained to me. During one card reading, I sketched a dog. Pretty random, I thought. When the woman looked at it, she started crying. It was bloody awful. Not really. It was her dad's dog, and her dad had just come through to us during the reading. Flat cap. I love the purple writing, it's my favourite. Flat cap. Another time, I drew a man in a flat cap, with a pit head in the background. That's my grandfather, the client said immediately. And you've... Did Chris come on? Was Chris... What's Chris after? Get back on if you want, because he won't settle until you do. That's my grandfather, the client said immediately, and you've also drawn the view from the window of his house in the background. Wow, that really is uncanny. Recently I've been drawing a little girl, Sharon says, of one of her guides, Emily. I've actually seen Emily myself. Although I can't see things if I look at them head on, I seem to have no problem seeing spirit even with my eyes shut. I've caught glimpses of little Emily in the corner of our bedroom. She's about 6 years old, and Sharon says she probably died of smallpox. Probably. What kind of medium is she? I can't see my own guides, but Sharon can. She says that one of them is a monk. I've also done a shamanic journey to connect with my animal guide, and I got the word... oh dear, this is beautiful. Okay, serious. And I got the word marmoset. It's not the word that I was thinking of. I actually had to look that up afterwards, as I didn't know what a marmoset was. I can feel them with me, though. And most importantly, I can feel their energy guiding me when I paint. It's like I'm a channel for spirit and I'm doing their work of helping them connect with the living. Purple writing. Dream come true. Sharon was right, of course. She always is. Although it was incredibly hard losing my sight like that, the universe gave me my dream, the ability to paint. I mean, he's assuming they're good. My blood pressure has gone down since I gave up my stressful job, and Sharon and I have moved to Newport, South Wales, where we run a butterfly centre together offering... Butterfly Enlightenment Centre together offering healing readings and spiritual development courses. I'm far happier now than I was in my old job and life. It was like someone up there finally said, right, we're going to sort this out for him. As Sharon says, trust in the universe and it'll see you right. There's so many unanswered questions there. So many unanswered questions. The marmoset thing. So that's his spirit guide, the marmoset. What particular attributes does the marmoset... I mean, he had to look it up. Let's find out... Oh. I'm just wondering how good they'd be. You know, if I had a spirit guide, I'd want it to be like, I don't know, like a bear or something, right? Marmoset. It's a monkey. And monkeys are always good. Marmosets, also known as Zaris, are 22 New World monkey species. Term marmoset also used in reference to Goeldi's marmoset, closely related. 20 centimetres long. Relative to other monkeys, they show some apparently primitive features, claws rather than nails, tactile hairs on their wrists, no wisdom teeth, and their brain layout seems to be relatively primitive. As I thought, absolutely pony is a spirit guide.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on the hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yeah,
0344 499 1000. This is a late night alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. We're talking about all sorts, from real friends that you make online to secret languages you have with animals. Come on, if you've got a pet, I know you've probably worked out how to talk to them. It's not always with words. God, that sounded creepier than it needed to, didn't it? 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, the reason I'm talking about talking to animals is apparently if you stare at a seagull, it's less likely to nick your chips. So there's a tip for you. Hang on. How's this happening? I'm calling a girl like you. How's that happening with my faders down? That's actually nuts. Oh, okay. I think next door's fader's possessed. It's right down here. Absolutely mad. I've got the right person on the line to talk about it, though, because Catherine's there. You're spooky, Catherine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? My fader was right down and you could hear some delicious music.
I did hear that. Oh.
Thanks for giving me a ring. What have you got?
Well, I wanted to relay to you a story that happened to my brother. It is true, honestly. My brother is very, he's deceased now, but he was a real Jack the Lad, from the East End of London. He used to be a driver for the Cray twins. So he didn't take anything seriously. But he was in and out of jail for quite a lot. I mean, my mum disowned him, that's how bad it was. So he went into Pentonville and they put him in a cell, and they normally sort of ask you the basic questions, one of which is, what's your religion? And he said, you know, well, I don't believe in anything, but I was raised a Catholic. And they said, right, okay, we've got a priest, you know, would you like to talk to him? My brother said, well, you know, whatever you want, don't care. So this priest came in. There was two bunks in this cell. My brother sat on one and the priest sat on the other one. And he was opposite him. And he was asking him all these questions, but he was wringing his hands all the time, this priest, and he had his head down looking at the floor.
Right.
And he says to my brother, oh, do you, if you don't believe... do you believe in the devil and all that? And my brother said, well, no, not really. He said, because, you know, I don't believe in God. Why should I believe in the devil and all this sort of stuff? And he said, well, okay. He said, so where do you think your soul goes afterwards? And my brother got really uncomfortable.
Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Can't get away from that.
No. And he said to him, look, Father... because he was very respectful. He said, look, Father, I don't want to talk about all this. I don't believe in it. Don't talk. I just don't want to talk to it.
Yeah.
And the priest said, well, I think you should talk about it. It's very important. And he lifted his head, and his eyes were glowing red.
No, stop it.
I swear to you, my brother does not frighten easily. He does not frighten easily. Well, he didn't frighten easily at all. And he said to my brother, look, Francis and all that. And my brother was going mental looking for a guard. And in the end, the guard came along and my brother said, get him out of my cell. Just get him out of my cell. And, of course, they brought the priest out of the cell. By which time, there was nothing wrong with the priest. His eyes were fine. But my brother never forgot it and never, ever, ever allowed the priest to be called to him because he was just living in terror.
God.
You know? And I never forget the look on his face. And he only ever told you the story when he'd had a drink. Because that's the only time I think he had the good luck or strength of character to tell the story. He wouldn't tell it when he was sober. But honestly, that's a true story. He was absolutely terrified with his priest.
That is like the stuff of nightmares and
it is.
Horror
it
films.
Is. Yeah, yeah. Oh. And you know, whether or not, I don't know who he was, I don't know, you know, where he, what he was doing or anything in that place. But I know that he went to my brother and that was it. You know, my brother never forgot it, ever.
God. I mean, well, the scientific thing, you know, if it happened, you know, I'm taking your word for it, but it could be that your brother was in, you know, in shock or...
Exactly. I mean, we don't know.
Something going on, but that's flipping awful.
Yeah.
What a thing.
But he really didn't.
And he was convinced it happened?
Oh, without a doubt. And he's not the type of person, he wasn't the type of person, as I say, to make things up or to get scared of stuff. My brother did not frighten. He was the type of bloke who would stand up to anyone and have a fight. So he just did not frighten. But to see him talk about this experience, whether there was more to it and he never told us, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he certainly, definitely believed it happened.
Yeah, something happened to him in that cell, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
How long was he in prison, Catherine?
Yeah.
How long?
6 months.
Right.
He was in and out all the time. You know, he was used to it.
How much older was he than you, or is he your kid brother?
Oh, no, he was way older than me.
Right.
He was probably about 30 years older than me.
30?
Yeah. My mum had 10 children.
Flipping heck.
Yeah. Yeah, nice big Irish family.
She must have been some woman.
Yeah, she was. She was a force to be reckoned with, my mum. She didn't have to shout or raise her hand. She just looked at you and you stopped immediately.
Right. And was your dad about?
Yeah. He was very quiet. My dad was anything for a quiet life.
Don't blame him with 10 kids.
Yeah. I mean, he took on 9 and then they had me. So right. 10.
Oh, right. So he was your dad, but not the 9?
No. No.
Wow. But, I mean, that is something to take on, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. He was a good soul, my dad. Very, very good person. But like all the Irish boys, liked his drink.
Right.
Which didn't help.
I bet.
So
your mum was like the kind of...
she was a matriarch,
the
definitely.
The matriarch, that's the word I was reaching for.
Yeah, she was definitely the one in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God,
some woman. So how are you keeping, Catherine?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm not too bad. My toes all healed up now, so the amputation went well.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm back to walking, so it's all good.
Does it feel different?
Doesn't feel different. I feel like I still got it, funnily enough.
Does it itch?
Yeah, and it pains sometimes. It really pains.
Oh, my God. How'd you sort that out?
I've got really strong painkillers for the cancer. I've got liquid morphine.
Right.
Oromorph.
Well, that's going to help then, isn't it?
Yeah. So, it does. It sometimes it feels funny, but the majority of the time, it's okay.
Does it completely knock you out, the morphine?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But because I'm on a cocktail of drugs, the others don't help.
Right.
Because they all sort of mix together.
The only thing I know about that stuff is when my grandma had cancer, she was on that and it spaced her out.
Yeah. Yeah, it can
she,
do. But
she was seeing all sorts.
Yeah, well, when they first gave it to me, they gave me, in a hospital, they gave me an overdose of it. And I woke up, I swear to you, everything around me was a World War One field hospital.
Blimey.
I could see the doctors and nurses in the uniforms, the long, you know, with the long skirts and the big poofy hats, and they, it terrified me, and I wouldn't take it again, and they said, oh, you know, we've got to try and get the dose right. But thankfully they got the dose right.
That stuff, you know.
It is horrible. I mean, I tend to take it only when it's absolutely necessary and when I'm in real, real pain.
Yeah, last resort.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you don't know what these things are doing to you, you know, and I'm always scared of them. I mean, I would never take anything like the diazepam stuff or Prozac or anything like that, because they are really dangerous drugs. So I really would not touch them.
Yeah, we get people ringing this show all the time who can't stop taking them once they start.
Well, that's it. That's it. And the diazepams, I think, I mean, I remember reading a story as well about Prozac. A woman was on it for 2 days and she went with a knife and held up her gas station in America.
What?
Yeah.
I thought Prozac was supposed to chill you out.
Yeah, and I thought, no, I'm not taking that. So we've managed to get the dosage right with the Uramorph. So we'll just keep it as and when. I think that's the best thing, because otherwise you tend to rely on it too much.
What's the situation now with your treatment?
Well, I couldn't have the treatment while I was in hospital because of the amputation, and I had to be on liquid intravenous antibiotics. So I was in there all over Christmas. I came out in... January. I came out in February, and then I was on flat bed rest. So the local nurses were coming out to me, and then that stopped in June.
God, I bet you were bored out of your mind, weren't you?
I am. I mean, it's lucky I'm a reader. I'm a real avid reader. It was very lucky, and Alexa was a godsend, because I got her for Christmas and I listened to talk radio, which is brilliant. So, but it just, it lasted, and then it ended in June. And so now I'm waiting to be put back on the chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to have a CT scan, a heart scan, and blood tests before I can have the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the CT scan is the one that I'm scared of, because that's the one that tells you whether it's spread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm really terrified of.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting for my doctor, my consultant now, oncologist, to get in touch with me.
Yeah, you kind of go from one appointment to the next. You can't really think too much further than that, I expect.
Drive yourself mental. I mean, if you thought... I'm pessimistic sometimes. I do think to myself, will I be here for Christmas and all that sort of stuff? But my husband's brilliant. He's really one of the best, you know, and he's very, very supportive.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in that way. But it doesn't stop me thinking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, my mum was typical Irish. She'd walk past me dad and say, "Are you still breathing?" You know, things like that. But they didn't spend a night apart.
Oh.
You know, it was only when she took a massive stroke.
Yeah.
Was she taken into hospital? That was the only time.
What do you know about the dad of the nine kids? What happened there?
He was an Irishman, and he came over to England. He was a gardener, and he came over to England to take a job at Victoria Park as a groundskeeper.
Right.
And he was 42. He was going to work one day, and he got to the top of the steps of Bethnal Green tube station and collapsed and died of a massive heart attack.
Good God.
Mm.
And there's that 42 again. So she lost a husband at 42 and a son at 42.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor woman.
Yeah, she. And then she, because she was in Ireland at the time, so she came over here because obviously he had a tied house and everything with Vicky Park. And she moved into that, and she just, I think she worked about 4 jobs to keep kids.
Well, this is it. We've got 9 kids. It's,
Yeah, but they couldn't do that today. They couldn't do that today. They would be absolutely gobsmacked.
How did she manage with the, obviously, childcare was something else back then. I'm imagining the older kids looked after the little ones.
They did, and my auntie came over.
Right.
And she lived with them. But unfortunately, it doesn't sound like we had any fun, but we did, I assure you.
It sounds very Victorian.
Yeah, she had a, my auntie had a, what they now know as an epileptic fit, but they didn't know then. So they took her into an asylum and gave her cold baths and gave her electric shock treatment. And this was a woman who was so used to coping for herself. She used to go abroad on her own and go to the theatres and all that.
Wow, that's like a proper modern woman, that.
Yeah, yeah.
So and what, this treatment destroyed her, I'm imagining?
Completely. She died in the asylum.
God, Catherine.
We couldn't get her out. They wouldn't allow it. So they had to have a signatory who was a parent. Well, none of the parents were alive. So... yeah, she died in the asylum. It was awful.
It's incredible. What are we talking, 1940s, 50s?
Yeah. Yep, 50s. But you see, you've got to realise she was taken into one of the Magdalen asylums.
Ah.
So she was really badly treated in there.
Yeah, and I imagine being quite a strong, forthright woman didn't go down very well.
No, not at all. Not at all. So... but my mum was always strong, and she was always, you knock her down, she gets up. I mean, she got scarlet fever at the age of, I don't know, 25 or something. She had three kids then, and they said, you'll never walk again. And she said, oh, I'll walk. She said, I've got children. And she used to drag herself out of bed, which is practically unheard of. You wouldn't do that, you know. But she was a strong woman, very strong.
God.
She ran two businesses at the end.
Did she? Yeah. What was she doing?
Well, one was an antique shop, and one was a, what you'd call a second-hand furniture shop. So, but the second-hand furniture shop kept the antique shop going.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because people are less intimidated by second-hand furniture than they are about antiques, yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. But yeah, she always made a living, and she always had a house for her kids. She would never have social services round or anything like that. She just went out and she made a living. I don't know how she did it, but she did it.
She's one of that generation that didn't want to ask for help and they didn't want anyone else interfering.
No, they didn't. That's right. But yeah, so she was a good person.
What was her name?
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Yeah, yeah. And my grandmother was French. I've been doing my family history for 2 years now.
Have you?
Yeah, because she had a brother called Michael who died in the trenches at the age of 18. And I think I've found him. I think I've located him to a hospital in France.
It's so hard, isn't it? I don't know whether things have changed. I know when Jeans Reunited first came out, I had a little stab at trying to find... because my grandma that died last... year before now? God, it seems like, it seems really fresh, but it isn't. Her dad disappeared when she and her brothers and sisters were quite small. And the last she remembers, again, this is an Irishman, and we've got a picture of him when he was engaged to my great-grandma in a World War One uniform that was too big. I mean, a bit, but he looks a spitting image of my dad.
Aww.
And looks like me. It's quite spooky.
Yes, yeah.
And then... but he disappeared. We don't know what it was because obviously my grandma Lillian was too young to be told the ins and outs of what had been going on. My great-grandma never remarried, but the last thing my grandma Lillian remembers of her dad was him finding her in the street while she's playing out and giving her a note and saying, take this to your mum.
Oh, yeah.
And then when she came back, she said, my mum says no. And he said, she won't let me come home. And that was the last she saw of her dad ever. And that story is just... heartbreaking.
Oh, that's so sad.
Really heartbreaking. And all the way towards the end, we were trying to find him, but of course it's really difficult.
I'll tell you something, if you had relatives born in Southern Ireland, it's impossible because Cromwell burnt all the records.
It's
all the parish churches.
It's that and looking up, you know, surnames. For example, trying to find the other side of the family, trying to find a Boyle that came over at the turn of the century. I mean, take your pick, it could have been any of them.
Exactly. Exactly, but we had a situation in the East End of London where my two brothers were playing with their friend on the roof of a building, and the roof collapsed, and my two brothers were injured, but their friend, a guy called Tommy Jitterbug, was killed. And my mum used to carry a little piece of paper of the newspaper story because it was in the News of the World. So I said to Stuart, my husband Stuart, I said, I need to go to Colindale, to the National Archives of Newspapers, and see if I can find this bit of paper because it's all faded now.
Yeah.
Went in there, said to the lady, you know, I'm looking for this. She said, well, is there anything unusual? And I said, well, the boy that died, his name was unusual, so I told her. She came out. It has made every national newspaper.
Was it like a bomb site or something they were playing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they were supposed to, the government was supposed to have, or the council was supposed to have knocked the building.
Right.
But they left it. And it turned out that they took all of this to Parliament about these bomb sites being, I mean, it was amazing. I thought it was just going to be a little clip in the paper. But I've got all of that now, and I spoke to the lady because they took a big photograph of my mum and the boys and the girls, so it was like a family photograph, and we had it, but it had been ruined because it had been folded over the years. So she sent it to me. She said, I'll send it to you in a pristine copy, and I said, thank you. And I got this envelope, and I got the picture, and then there was a little note from her saying, don't know if you'd like this. And it was a picture that no one had ever seen of my mum and my brother that was injured.
Wow.
And all my brothers are tough.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him for his birthday and said, this is just for you. And his wife phoned me and she said, I've been married to him for 35 years and I've never seen him cry. She said, this morning he opened that bloody picture, she said, and he ain't stopped.
No.
And I thought, oh my God, I hope he's all right, you know. But power of photographs.
Yeah, and you know what? We didn't take as many photographs back then.
No.
It was a special occasion, you dress up, wasn't you?
I was always the one that took the photographs. Hardly anybody else took photographs in my family.
I've been to see some of Danny Baker's shows, and I know in his books as well he says the same thing. He says, I look at the photos we've got, and we've got like one picture of the whole family together, and the rest of the time we'd take photos on holiday and we'd be taking a picture of a flipping sheep or a church or something, and I'd be thinking, turn the bloody camera around.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's absolutely typical. But trying to locate your family, I love it. I love it when a piece comes together and you just think, oh, wow, that's it, another puzzle.
Yeah.
And then I sat here with my sister a month ago and told her how far up I was and that I might have found Michael. And she said to me, oh, good, you can have a look for Maisie.
Oh, another
one. I said, who's Maisie? She said, oh, she was Mum's twin sister.
What?
She died. And I thought, do you know what? I could have strangled her. I really could have done. I thought, you've known I've been doing this for like past 5 years. And it's only now that you tell me about Maisie. So that's another one to look for now.
Blimey, well, you're going to be busy, Catherine.
I will.
Hey, yeah. It's been a real pleasure talking to you tonight. I'm glad we've had a bit more time.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And it's been lovely talking to you because you're very sympathetic and you've got a very reassuring way about you.
Oh, so thanks. Thank
it's
you.
It's lovely.
All right.
Did he find his passport?
Yeah, he did. He went away, and we're talking about Ian, of course.
Yes.
He went away, and he's taken the boys to gladiator school. They've been to a pizza making workshop. They've not stopped. They've been having the most wonderful time.
Yeah, they'll love it. Love Italy. Rome is fantastic.
Do you know what? He's making some brilliant memories with them, and you know, it's been a tough time, and I'm really pleased to see him enjoying life the way he is.
Exactly. I was going to say to him before he went, if he goes to the St. Peter's Square on a Wednesday, he can hear Papa preach, because he preaches every Wednesday that he's in situ.
I think they were fighting each other at the gladiator school when Papa was preaching today.
Oh, that's what it is, you see. That's what it is.
Anyway, you know where I am, Catherine, if you want to chat.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. 03444991000. This is a late night alternative.